Well, good morning. Good to be with you guys. Love that video. It takes the moment to go, God wants to speak anywhere, anytime, and then it says to everyone. I'm excited to be with you. We've been spending the last 3 weeks and now four talking about when God speaks. And just really excited for the fruit that comes out of this and us understanding the truth of the fact that God wants to speak. I love whether you start in Genesis and go to Revelation and everything in between, all of the different ways that God speaks. There's dreams, there's visions, there's a still small voice, there's an angel of the Lord, there's donkeys, there's, if you look through scripture, it's amazed at all of the different ways that God chooses to speak. And there's a part of me that goes, man, I'm really glad that it wasn't just one way. If it was always a burning bush, man, every house would have this certain bush in front and people would go, no, you got to use John Deere clippers. That's what gets the Lord to speak. You clip it this way, not down. You go up from the bottom and man, we'd be so fixated on the bush rather than the God who spoke through a bush. So I'm beautiful that he uses so many different ways. And I hope that today there's two things that you walk away with. One is that God wants to speak to you, maybe for the first time or again, because he speaks all the time. And secondly, I really believe that the Lord wants to reveal himself to you personally today through the uniqueness of who he is and the love that he has for you and the relationship he has with you. I also want to say congratulations to the graduates. I don't know if it's because of that time. The Lord's been speaking to me a lot about seasons, but it caused me to reflect back on adventures that I've been in life, just things that I've experienced. And this isn't all of them, but I want to take in a little journey in my mind, and it's scary, and I'm glad you're all sitting down, but these are just really quick, some adventures I faced. I was saved from a broken double Ferris wheel one time that got out of control at a local fair. Wow. It was me and a friend and a priest in between us. I know this sounds like a crazy joke. Well, there's me and a priest. But seriously, it was out of control to the point where, we didn't have seatbelts back then, as you came around the front, the chair was literally facing straight down, and the only thing holding us in was the bar. And you want to talk about hearing somebody pray. Man, that priest was praying like there's no tomorrow. The guy who ran it had to run up the machine as it was getting out of control and stick a 2x4 into this wheel and hang on it until it finally came to a stop. It's the last Ferris wheel I've ever been on in my whole life. I've eaten rattlesnake that I almost stepped on. I've been stalked by a mountain lion, and the only weapon I had was a fishing pole. Didn't have a lure because I snagged it in the rocks. I had a shark run into me at the beach one time, almost knocked me over. I was detained by the cartel and soldiers in Mexico by a Jeep with a grenade launcher. I was there on ministry. Just want to clarify. I ran from a charging bull. I ran from a bear. The bear was running the other direction, but I still felt I needed to run. I ran from a soccer field by a gang of machete-wielding men when I was out of the country. I lasted overnight with a tent and a pair of shorts through a blizzard that dropped 2 feet of snow, and I was up at 11,000 feet and had to hike out the next morning. Crazy adventures, right? Can I tell you something? There is no adventure more thrilling than God speaking to you. Not one. The ones I left out and the ones I just went through. Because some of the adventures I've been in with God speaking is I've seen a park full of people all come forward and everyone give their life to Jesus. I've seen pastors in Uganda weeping because no one had ever told them of the good news of God's grace before. I saw a woman healed of cancer that was visible one day and gone the next. I was in a meeting where a man came forward who was drunk and couldn't make sense of stuff, and they prayed for his sobriety in a moment, completely sober, right on the spot. And he goes, what's going on? And he gave his life to Jesus. I saw a man get out of a wheelchair walk for the first time since a horrible accident many years prior had put him in a wheelchair. I've seen countless number of people weep when God reveals himself to them through prophetic words or words of knowledge. I remember the first time I ever came to Northlands, the chairs were different, but I was sitting right over there, right about where Marcus is, a little bit back. It was first time ever at Northlands, and a woman who I had no idea about got up here and said, "Hey, you in the shirt," and I was kind of hiding behind someone. You know how you do that? She said, "No, the guy behind you," and she read my mail and spoke to me of the things that God wanted to speak. So there's no way you can convince me that God doesn't speak today. I've seen it, I've experienced it, and it's been the biggest adventure of my life, better than any of the other things that I've experienced. There's no adventure more thrilling than God speaking to you. So I want us to go on a little journey this morning into Genesis 22, and we're gonna read a story about Abraham, and we're gonna glean from that what I think are four important truths that will help us when God speaks. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We're gonna pick this up in Genesis 22. This is a wild, crazy, fun, so buckle your seatbelts and let's have some fun. Genesis 22, starting in verse 2. Then God said, and he's speaking to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here am I," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." Wow, what an amazing story. I just want to tell you, there's no other place in Scripture where God called somebody to sacrifice their kid. Okay, I just want to make that clear. I'm not saying this is how God's going to speak to you, but it's beautiful what we see in here of the way that God speaks to Abraham. And I want us to grab the framework, if you will, of what he's done. And I think we're going to have some fun with this. So let's look at this. If you're taking notes, write this down. When God speaks, number one, it's clear. It's clear. It's very clear. Listen to verse 2. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice." I think it's amazing. In my view, why doesn't he say, "Take your son, Isaac"? It's not like he goes, "I'm sorry, God, which son? Which Isaac? Do you want me to take?" He's only got one son, but God goes through he goes, "Your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac." And I think this is the beauty of the uniqueness in which God chooses to speak to us. See, I think this was for Abraham. I think he wanted to say, without saying, "Take your son and sacrifice him." And he goes, wait, the one I love? "Yes, Abraham, the one you love. My only son, the one you gave me?" "Yeah, your only one, the one you gave him. Take him and do this." And what I want us to grab from this is there is a uniqueness in the way that God speaks to every one of us. See, God doesn't want to play hide and seek when he speaks to us. His intent is to speak to you in a way that you'll understand. That's why we say the phrase around here, using the furnishings of our mind. If God tries to speak to me about rocket science and use that as a way to get me to do something, it ain't happening. I know nothing about that. But instead, God's going to use circumstances, training, situations, things in my life, because his heart is to speak to me, not to show how big and bad and woo he is. It's actually to speak to me and to guide me into things that he has for me. So there's always the uniqueness. He needed to say to Abraham, your son, your only son, whom you love, because that spoke to Abraham about who his son was. But I have to be clear about this. There is a difference between clarity and understanding. This is so important for us. It's clear. When God speaks to us, it's clear. Listen to these definitions. One, first about clear, it's free from darkness. It's, which I love, it's obscurity or cloudiness, easily seen or sharply defined. That's what clear means. Understand is to perceive the meaning of. Clarity doesn't answer the question of why. Why? Because understanding is a precious gift that is only rewarded to those who are willing to proceed in the journey. Understanding comes later, never comes at the beginning. Sometimes I wonder if I said, okay, Lord, look, I know you told me, let's put me in Abraham. Okay, you want me to sacrifice my son? Can you just tell me this whole picture? So he reveals the whole picture and starts telling me step by step, and then you're going to get to do this, and then there's going to be a ram in the bush, and then there's going to, oh, and then 10 years later, we're going to do this. There may be a place along the road that I go, whoa, time out. Sorry, God, check, please. I don't think I could do all this. I don't think I could do this. See, the kindness of the Lord is he tells us in parts. He tells him very clear, take your son. This is what I'm calling you to do. Understanding comes later, and we have to be okay with it just being clear, but not understanding. This is all through scripture. Consider Peter. Peter gets this vision of a sheet being dropped down, and there's all these unclean animals that are on there, and the vision happens three times. And then in verse 17, Peter says this, or it says this, while Peter was still wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was. They stopped at the gate. They called out, asking Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are here. It goes on. Such a clear picture. Sheets, unclean animals, rise, kill, and eat. He goes, I've never eaten unclean animals. Three times that happens, very clear, but without understanding. What about Moses? Exodus 3, verse 2, there was an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over to this strange sight. Why the bush doesn't burn up? It's lacking the understanding, but the clarity. When we try to find understanding instead of clarity, that's when sometimes we can get in trouble. And I find that the biggest thing is if we want to skip clarity and just move to understanding, then we lose the opportunity to grow in faith. And that's really what the Lord wants us to do. So point one, clear, it's clear. Number two, faith is required. There's no way around this journey, especially to the place of understanding, if we try to skip faith. When he speaks, it's gonna be clear. When he speaks, it's gonna require a step of faith. What happens with Abraham is amazing to me. In Genesis 22:3, it says early the next morning. How many of you guys are with me? I might have slept in that day, right? Maybe I need to go talk to a few friends. Maybe I need to figure that. Maybe I need to glean more understanding because this doesn't make sense. There are times when the Lord speaks to us and it's clear, but it doesn't make sense. That's the step of faith that we have to take. It says, early the next morning, Abraham got up. I love this 3-5. And loaded his donkey, took with him two servants, his son Isaac, where they had cut enough wood for the burnt offering. So he gets up early, gets the wood. He sets out for the place God had told him. Doesn't know what the name is or where it is. I'm going to show you along the way. And then verse 4 says, on the third day. He had 3 days to think about this whole thing and consider what he's about to do. But he stays in the place of walking in faith. So much so that in verse 5, he says to his servants, I love this, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. And what? We will worship. And then what? We will come back to you. He doesn't understand. The Lord hasn't laid out the whole thing, but he's clear. This is the Lord that gave me my son, my only son, whom I love. He provided him for me. Later on, when his son is asking, verse 7, Isaac spoke up, Father, yes, son. Well, what an awkward conversation. Hey, Dad, I see everything we need, but there's one thing that's missing. I love Abraham's response. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Again, an expression of faith. That's why in Hebrews 11, it says, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So in a manner of speaking, he received Isaac back. Abraham didn't know how this was all going to work out. All he knew is that there was this promise from God, which he knew he was going to hang on to. It reminds me of the promise to David. Samuel comes, he anoints David as king, and he says, you're going to be the next king, and he leaves. And then it's time to fight Goliath. And you go, where does he get the faith from that? How does he muster up? And to me, I think there's some point when David goes, well, time out. I'm the next king. This guy can't do anything to me. Takes off Saul's armor and he goes, no. I just need what I'm used to. I have a feeling that this God I serve, who helped me destroy the bear and the lion, this God who I serve has carried me this far, this God who I serve sent his prophet to anoint me with oil, is the same God that's going to carry me through this. Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw, what was that show? What is it? House of David. Some people liked it, some people didn't. There's this one scene where one of the guys holds David over this very high balcony, and he's gonna throw him off the balcony if he doesn't stop. And all of a sudden, it's like it dawns on him. If you throw me off, nothing's gonna happen to me because I know I'm gonna be king. And he just, peace hits him and he stretches out his arm. And the guy holding him is like, what are you doing? He's like, I know who I am. I'm king. Abraham didn't know all of the detail. There wasn't enough understanding yet, but this, he was clear who God is and who God said he was. That's our clarity that we walk in when God speaks. It allows us to push into the faith that we need to make the decisions. I think it's funny in Acts 10:23, Peter says, then after the sheets and all of that comes down, it says, then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. Then the next day, Peter started out with them. There's something on this next day that we see in Abraham, we see in Peter, and we see in some of the other stories that we're going to look at. It wasn't that they had complete understanding or a complete grasp of what God was saying, but they had the clarity of what God was saying, and they decided to take a step of faith into what he was doing. See, this is in the step of faith, this is where doubt tries to come in. It's the enemy, as Tyler spoke a couple weeks ago. Did God really say this? I think there could be a connection with early the next morning or the next day, this is what they set out to do. We're all searching sometimes for understanding over clarity. And when we do, we run the risk of doubt. As I was reading all of this, I came across the story of Mary and the birth of Jesus and all of those things. And as I was looking at this, there's one aspect, like you go, how do you get rid of doubt? Because it's not an easy thing. What Abraham did and when the Lord speaks to us, it's not an easy thing. And let me put it on a smaller scale. You're sitting there and the Lord says, hey, go up to that person whom you don't know, whom you've never met, and share with them this. He's got the clarity, but you go, what if they freak? What if they run away? What if they go, you're wrong? And all of these, but you have to take a step of faith to go over there and begin to talk to them. One of the things that I think helps put to death doubt and sticks in fear is something that Mary says in Luke 2, verse 19. When she considers all of the things that have happened, the shepherds have now come, Jesus is born, it says this, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. When we take a moment to treasure things and ponder, it builds our faith. When we give value to what God is doing and keep it at the forefront of our mind, it builds faith. When I remind myself, when I'm standing at a giant looking up going, oh my gosh, this one's bigger than the last one. But I look back and I see the last one face first in the dirt. I go, you sure you want to be like him? Because this is who's fighting for me. This treasuring and looking back and remembering the things that God has done and the past he's been on and the way that he's spoken and the breakthroughs that you've had, all of those things are so important for us to treasure those up and hold them so that we don't lose faith. We don't doubt, but instead we push forward into what he's calling us to. When God speaks, it's clear, and it requires faith. Number three, it's always confirmed. It's always confirmed. Waiting for confirmation isn't doubt. It's actually biblical. Look at these passages, and I'm just running through in 1 John 4, but test the spirits. You'll be able to test and approve. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Proverbs 3:5-6, lean not on your own understanding. Acts 17:11, where the Bereans examine the scriptures to see if what they said was true. Romans 2:12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Finding confirmation is so important. Back to Genesis, our story with Abraham. Look at this in 22:4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. 3 days of traveling to go to the place I'll show you. And he looks up and it's like, there it is. It's confirmation. So he looks at the servants, stay here. We're gonna go worship and then we'll be back. In Genesis 22, another confirmation, the angel of the Lord comes to him when he's about to sacrifice his son and says, stop. Don't lay a hand on him. And then he shows him the ram in the thicket. Acts 10, as Peter enters the house of Cornelius in Peter's story, he goes with the men and he goes to share the gospel with them. In verse 27, while talking with him, Peter went inside, found a large gathering of people. And he said to them, you're well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. And then he says, what did you send me for? And he ends up sharing the gospel with him. Goes there, there's the people waiting to hear the gospel. I love this one, Luke 1, verse 38, about Mary. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And the angel left her. Verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready, hurried to a town in the hill country, almost sounds like the next day, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah where she entered Zachariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women and blessed is your child you will bear. Confirmation. See, I have found that when God speaks and it's clear and you step out in faith, he's gonna confirm it. The God who told you what to do is the God that wants to help you see it through. And so I would say, look for confirmation. Ask for it. Pray for it. Seek it because it's there. However the Lord speaks, there are times when the Lord's put words on my heart for people, and I'm really not sure if I have the right person, and so I ask questions, whether it's to the Lord or to them. I feel like I might have a word for you or a word of knowledge or whatever it may be to engage so I can find confirmation. Sometimes even in beginning to share, I can tell that the Holy Spirit is speaking to them by what they say or how they're responding. And then it's almost like the rest begins to come. there's a confidence I found in his confirmation, so I can do what he's called me to do. There have been so many times in my life where I've been in a situation where I'm trying to figure out what the Lord's saying, and then the Lord confirms it as I wait. Sometimes it could be moments, minutes. Sometimes it could be days. Sometimes it can be much longer than that. But I wait for the confirmation. There are prophetic words that people have given me that I've put on a shelf, if you will, just waiting for the confirmation to come. Love to do all of those. Love to see all of those things that the Lord spoke. But I'm waiting for the confirmation that the Lord will bring for those that I'm supposed to walk in. Sometimes the confirmations have been fun and exciting. Sometimes they've just been one step at a time, little by little. No one's better, no one's worse. It's just how the Lord wants to lead, teach, and train me. I think one of my, and I've shared this before, so I won't go into great detail, but one of my most fun ones is when Michelle and I were leading a church in Texas, and we're feeling like the Lord was saying it was time for us to move on. We had no idea what we were gonna do. We were a little surprised at the time that that happened. So we asked some people to pray, and those people came back to us and said, hey, we feel like the Lord's saying your time is done, but also one of the couples said, we also feel like where you go, you're not gonna be leading. The Lord has something new for you. So we were like, wow, three close people, confirmation, it's time to move on, but where? Where do we go? And so at that point, I made a phone call to Greg to say, hey, you know, could you pray with me? This is where we're at. And in the conversation that I had with Greg, it was during a season where they were looking to hire someone to come to Northlands. And so as we had our conversation during that time, and Greg said, hey, this is what was going on, I remember covering the phone and looking at Michelle, and I go, oh my gosh, we're moving to Atlanta. I've never been like, oh my gosh, Lord, please move me to Atlanta. I've actually never been like, Lord, please move me to Hawaii. Because I've found something in wherever the Lord has me, that's the best place to be, man. But as we were looking for confirmation, and Greg mentioned what he did, I covered the phone, I go, babe, we're moving to Atlanta. And that's exactly what transpired very quick, with probably in a matter of, I think, 3 months or 4 months, we were here, and I've been on staff now for 13 years. That confirmation is worth waiting for. It builds your faith, and the next time you go through it, your confidence grows. She goes, I don't know when he's gonna confirm this. I don't know when he's gonna show this. I don't know when he's gonna reveal this, but this I know he always does. Look for the confirmation. And then lastly, number four, is it reveals his character. He reveals his character. Every single time when God speaks and you go on this journey, you'll notice it's clear. You're gonna step out in faith, listening to what he says. It's gonna be confirmed. And then the last thing that happens is he's gonna reveal his character. Look at Genesis 22:14 with me. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. It's his character. And to this day, it said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. I would encourage you that anytime the Lord speaks to you, leads you in a path, and you get to the completion of it, that you call that whatever the Lord revealed himself to. Whatever it may be, the God who always provides, the God who comes through no matter what, whatever it is, because for Abraham, this became his, and then to the day, it's called on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The testimony over and over again of what the Lord did for Abraham. Also for Peter in Acts 10, at the very end of verse 28, he says, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean, and comes to the realization that the gospel is to go to the Gentiles as well. God doesn't show any favoritism. And then I love Luke 1, 49 through 53, because Mary just goes off on what she found through God through all of this pondering. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. the opportunity to see it through and then put a name on it to go, you know what? This is who you've revealed yourself as. This is who you are to me. So one of the things I want to do is we've been in this season of looking at how God speaks. I want to give us an opportunity to put into practice what we're talking about. And I want to take a moment to just sit in the presence of the Lord with some music playing without any words or anything. And I want to give you two prompts today. Two things to ask the Lord and one to do. Because I think one of the best things that we can do is put into practice the very things that we're learning. Asking the Lord to speak to you today. Asking him to reveal himself to you. And so the two prompts I have for you today, one is ask the Lord, Lord, how do you see me? Just take a moment in his presence and ask the Lord, Lord, how do you see me? Because this kind and loving and gracious God will speak to you. Let you know what he sees, how he loves you. And I would encourage you what he says to write it down. And then the other prompt during this time that I'd love for us to do is to treasure and ponder. Take a moment and think of all of the things that God has done. Ponder for a moment how he's come through for you, how he's been faithful. Think back in your past, pull all those together and thank the Lord for that. And if you're standing in a place of need, use that to remind you that he's the same God for where you're standing today as he was back then. You know, I had an amazing thing come through this week. I wasn't gonna share this, but I feel like I should. My dad, being a VA from war in the past, and through some things, we had to put him into an assisted living place where we get to visit him, and he's still here today. And part of the reason we did it is because the Veterans Bureau said that they could help and pay for half so that he could afford it. And they asked that he goes in there first before they approve anything. So we did, and that was back in February of 2024 when, after stroke, we found a great place for my dad. And then since then, we've been waiting and believing and been praying. And so the place that he was at didn't say, oh, don't worry about paying. When they pay, we'll get it. And they said, you gotta pay. And so the last year and a month, I'll be honest, has been trying and it's been difficult. And we stood on the truth that the Lord said, this is what we're supposed to do as we prayed and we heard the Lord. But through the last year, I'll be honest with you, it's been crazy. I don't know how we've made it to this except but God. And there was one day when Michelle and I were talking and we started to talk about all of the things that this year we've been able to do and see and be a part of. And we began to laugh in a very difficult time, began to laugh because we just kept seeing how faithful and trustworthy the Lord has been. So we just, again, a year, it wasn't just 3 days, it was a year. And so this, one of the things my wife mentioned was to write a letter to the VA, so we did. And this Monday, when I was sitting in my office, I got a call from the Veterans Bureau. And they said, hey, just wanted to let you know, it's come to our attention that you're wondering about the status. And people I've talked to and all that, I go, no, they don't normally call to tell you what's going on. And they said, but we wanted to let you know that it's been granted, it's been finished, and you should receive a check in the next 7 to 10 days. And it's retro, so it goes back to help. And as he was telling me this, all I could do was weep because of how kind the Lord is. And at one point he's like, are you still there? And all I could muster out was like, eh, you know, just a noise. And I said, yeah, I'm still here. He said, do you have any questions for me? And I just laughed. I said, nope. And I got off the phone. I just gave thanks and praise to the Lord. And then the next morning, happened to check the account and the money was in. Wow. And so I'm looking at that and I'm like, that day for me is the Lord always provides. Yeah. always provides. Could be in a day, could be in a couple months, could be in 12 months, but faithful to sustain through the whole thing. The Lord always provides. So that's what I'm gonna treasure and ponder today. But the God we serve is clear, requires faith, is so good, he'll confirm it. And then when he brings it to completion, he's gonna reveal his character to you. So as we soak for a moment, ask the Lord, how do you see me, Lord? Because I believe he wants to tell you. Or take a moment to treasure and ponder the way the Lord has come through for you. And just sit on that for a little while. Just close our eyes and spend a few moments doing this.